This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:14, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. And we're now talking about road rage. This is after the tragic incident last Saturday when a 29-year-old died after being run over by a car driven by a 40-year-old suspect. The two have been involved in a car chase on the Plus Highway and a heated argument near Bandar Baru Bangi.
We want to emphasise that despite how this conversation has developed, this incident is not a racial issue. But it is about something important that we need to address, which is road rage. So we've all probably experienced something like this before. Anger at a motorist who drives dangerously around us, or stress during a traffic jam. So we want to look at what is the cause behind this and maybe how do we deal with this anger.
I'm trying to think of myself in the car. You're hermetically sealed in a car. It's an environment of your own design. You're experiencing, I don't know, the sound of music or whatever that is comforting to you. And then you can find yourself suddenly in a situation where another car has done something. I will blame the other car. Where suddenly your whole world has changed. And the adrenaline can be pumping. And decisions are made very quickly.
And there's so many decisions you have to make while you're in a car.
Yeah. And so when you're broken out of your idyll, I don't know, I've never been in a situation personally where road rage has happened, where I've been either at the receiving end or definitely giving in. But it's a terrifying thought.
Well, I think there is two parts to this. You know, when you are in the car and when everyone else is in a car, there is this sense of
animosity?
Cam's word is more appropriate.
Anonymity.
That one.
Yes, that
anonymity.
One. Anonymity, thank you. So you recognize everyone else as a car. You don't necessarily recognize them as a person. Oh, that Honda just cut me off. Oh, that Myvi just cut me off. How rude. And you yourself are also identifying yourself as a car, right? In the sense, well, I drove this way. I'm a much better driver on the road, which is also a bit of a false perception. Not everyone is technically a very good driver. We have a gap somewhere. And the other part of it is also that, you know, we are in a space, in a steel box that does feel like our own private space, but we are existing on such a public realm that is the road that, hey, you know, why are you infringing possibly on this space of mine? There is also that point there. And to that notable anonymity, yes, I have that right finally. It's also like, I think, why on the internet itself, when you are allowed to be more anonymous, that you do tend to show behaviors that are usually not socially acceptable. So abusive comments, bullying. And to me, that's where also partly it comes, that this picture of being in a car comes in, where you are able to act in a certain way because you can just drive past someone and you wouldn't have to see them ever again. You can just bully someone on the road, or you can get bullied on the road because, you know, what's the likelihood of me bumping into the same person on that highway again and again?
I think in some cases as well, the stakes are quite high, especially if someone drives dangerously around you or a motorcyclist swerves around you and is very dangerous. The stakes are high because it involves either someone's life or property. So if your car or that person's car gets damaged, then you or that person has to pay for it. And maybe that's just one of the factors that really moves you closer to the edge in terms of how you deal with that anger. And I also think that maybe we're not good at sharing spaces on the road with people. So we consider the road ours. If someone comes in without giving a signal, which is like asking for permission to come into our lane, then we consider that a violation of our space, and that may also trigger some anger in us as well.
Oh yeah, and also that our space is constantly moving at like 90 kilometers an hour. And I guess we're in a state of we can be very calm and very happy in our in that little secluded space in the car. But I guess there's also a tension inside, knowing that we're moving at 90 miles an hour and the danger can happen very quickly. So there's a certain tension. And then, as Calvin was saying, that sense of someone infringing. So many emotions, aren't there? That you're being territorial in a space that's constantly moving. And then you might have people with you who you wish to protect. And who knows what mood you were in before when something happened.
And there's also traffic conditions, right? If you're dealing with heavy traffic, if you're dealing with time pressure, if you're rushing somewhere, that also affects how much your decision-making process, how rational you are, how level-minded you are. And also how we would end up interpreting an incident. Sometimes between two cars, you know, one person might just want to do their best, want to drive safely, but they're not driving at the best of their ability. They could be tired, but when you view it, how you perceive it, you might see it as someone trying to infringe on you, someone trying to upset you. Oh, this person is purposely cutting into my lane without using the signal because they just want to annoy me because they perceive that I have done something wrong as well.
Yeah.
So we're now going to cross over to clinical psychologist Dr. Chua Suk Ning because we wanted to take a look into the psychology behind road rage. Suk Ning, thank you so much for joining us. So we've probably witnessed this many times where a regular person who may usually be mild-mannered even gets aggressive behind the wheel. What's going on there in terms of psychology?
So usually the aggressive driver, I think, is responding to something. Maybe they perceive another driver to be aggressive towards them or to have hostile intentions. You know, if you see someone and then you think they're being nasty to you, when you're in a car, then you're going to respond in another hostile manner. I think, you know, being in a car allows you a sense of power as well. Mm. And you are anonymous. You're on the road. You're not really identified. And you're in this vehicle that can be driven fast, that, you know, you can press a gas pedal and give you a sense of empowerment. So that I think you have this. It's almost like Transformers, where you and your car become one in that sense, and you feel much more powerful than you would perhaps in daily life. And I think that's one of the reasons why people might react more aggressively than they would otherwise in person or when they're self-conscious.
Does it start from a perception? Because, you know, you mentioned this driver being hostile to me. Does it start from a perception, and does that perception then grows into road rage?
Yeah, it's a perception. So there have been studies that show that certain individuals are more likely to perceive hostile intent. So when you do perceive another driver to, you know, have like a, maybe like have... is a bad driver and who's hostile towards you, then you are more likely to think, okay, this guy's out to get me, and then respond in an aggressive manner.
There also seems to be the sense that it's always the other driver's fault. Why do you think people feel that way?
I think generally we like to think that we are good and safe drivers. So when you're driving, you think, okay, I'm a really good driver, and oh, this person is mean towards me, is nasty towards me, or isn't driving safe, and then that's the response. So you're not conscious of how you're driving, and you're more reactive to how the other person's driving.
Are there factors that make some people more susceptible to road rage?
The studies have shown that younger drivers actually are more likely to respond in aggressive manners. People who are under pressure, people who are more likely to perceive threat and are used to using aggression to get their way. So I don't think it's necessarily someone who's completely mild-mannered and blows up. I think we do see signs of certain types of dysregulation in their daily life, and then it comes out on the road as well.
Is there a difference between men and women? Like, does rage tend to happen more among men compared to women?
Right, so the research shows that it's quite equal. Men and women both can get angry on the road and then drive aggressively. So we get back to the idea again that your car being an embodiment of yourself, and what maybe you couldn't express in your day-to-day, in your normal life, you are taking it out when you're driving, and you feel much more powerful. And so we see that it is quite equal. Maybe men a little bit more aggressive, but you'll be surprised that women who are responding aggressively on the road as well.
So if you're driving on the road and this other driver's behavior gets you really angry, what should you do?
Not respond in anger. So the thing is, Malaysia has a lot of road rage incidences and has one of the highest, you know, number of accidents in Southeast Asia. So if someone is making you angry, don't respond. You know, really engage in defensive driving or distract yourself. Don't think this person is out to get me. Don't think about how awful the driver is or how, you know, don't make attributions about that which are only going to make you angrier. So really, in a way, it's managing your own anger and then not using, you know, your car as a, you know, almost like using your car to express your emotion, but rather kind of de-escalate the situation.
Does it have to do with self-awareness as well? For example, being aware that I'm having a stressful day and should try not to react a certain way on the road?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're stressed and upset, you might find yourself pressing the gas pedal much more and driving much more quicker than you normally would, or you're more impatient with other drivers on the road. So it's not to say that, you know, don't drive when you're angry, but be aware of how you're responding to other drivers on the road and drive safe. You know, I think it's the key thing, because road rage or getting into an argument with another driver doesn't benefit anyone. So being aware of your emotions and then actually working through them productively rather than through driving is probably the better idea. The safest way might be also be seen as the most boring way, which is actually to talk it out. And then you can actually deal with the source of the stress.
Suk Ning, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was clinical psychologist Dr. Chua Suk Ning. And we have some messages about road rage and why do you think it happens? Have you ever had it happen to you before? We'd like to know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have this message here from Cairo that reads, "In my opinion, a lot of variables contribute to road rage. The driving in Malaysia is just very stressful. Road conditions are bad with potholes and uneven surfaces. Traffic jams are very bad in the Klang Valley due to poor planning and poor road layout. Other drivers' attitudes such as tailgating closely, queue jumping, not using signals, driving dangerously fast, dangerously slow, lane hogging, recklessness, using the phone and so on. All these stress points snowball into road rage. We need to get to the root cause of this. It is very calm and peaceful when driving in Europe, UK and Scandinavian countries where everyone follows the rules. Enforcement is very strict and people have good road manners. Even in Brunei, driving there is much better. On top of that, Malaysians are generally rude on the road. In Indonesia and in India, the drivers are bad as well, but they are less rude and more polite. Hence, we are not easily angered by it." And that message came through from Cairo.
I think there's a lot of truth there, but at the same time, we shouldn't be thinking that the grass is that much greener on the other side of the highway.
Yeah, because even in other countries, there are also really angry drivers. But I think the general idea is that so many, when you are driving, so many little things sort of add up to this snowballing anger or annoyance within you, and that contributes to it.
Yes, and also, if you're looking at the root cause, I would say one thing we lack here is we've lacked public transportation, actually.
Yes.
We have not had trains that can take us from one end of the country to the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are trains. The last mile connectivity.
No,
the
it's
buses.
Not even the last mile connectivity. No, I mean, I've traveled from Singapore to KL, and seriously, the goats on the side were going faster. I could have gotten there faster by walking. So the train system is now being improved finally. So that would take, I hope, a lot of people off the roads.
Keep those messages coming. We are heading to the 6:30 news. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 6:37. You're with Kelvin, Ayman, and Cam on the Evening Edition. Now, we have been talking about road rage, of course, after a tragic incident that happened just this weekend. So we've been asking for your messages. Have you ever experienced road rage before? You can let us know, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line now, we have Max. Max, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hello, good evening, guys. How are you guys today?
Doing all right.
Good, good.
Right. I just like to put on the table something which I've noticed about road rage and how it differs from our regular daily life. Mm-hmm. For example, how are we expected to react when we're on the road and when our usual right of way or whatever right it is has been trespassed by another party? So I heard the psychologist mention that you should just let it be and walk away. Mm-hmm. However, I do notice when something similar happens, not on the road, we are expected to stand up for what's right and what is civic-mindedness, right? For example, let's say cutting a queue in a grocery lane.
Right.
So the normal behavior is to call out this person who's cutting a queue. And more often than not, this person who's cutting the queue will usually conform to the rest of the group, you see? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, on the road, it's the total opposite. And I'm not talking about some vague right-of-way. Let's say cutting queue at a double line. That's a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. However, if you were to, let's say, flash them and horn them to indicate that, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, you know? And normally, some will say, okay, my bad, raise their hand, and that normally diffuses the situation. But often, people usually react in an aggressive manner just because you honk them or you signal that they're doing something not right. And this behavior, I find very, very strange how behavior on the road totally differs with behavior not on the road. You're expected to stand up for civicness outside of the road, but on the road, you're expected to become more passive. And if you guys want to weigh in on this, please feel free.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I don't particularly have answers in this situation because it is true, right? The best and the safest way based on what our psychologist said earlier is to just move on. You know, there really isn't a point. I don't know where to go with.
Well, I think you make excellent point there. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I would I would say though that there is a difference in that when the person is queue cutting in front of you when you're walking, say, you get a chance to check out that person for several, perhaps even minutes, and you
maybe
think,
them up, right?
Yeah, and you'd be thinking, oh, I can take him, or you think, no way. So when they do cut, then you make a choice. The thing with the road rage situation is that often you do the horning, you may pull over, whatever. It's only at the last second, when you're already committed, the person reveals themselves. And then it's too late. You can't back down.
Yeah.
And so then it escalates.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Max, thank you so much for your thoughts. And there is something to think about, right? It is essentially just a difference perhaps in contexts. I think just being on the road in general is more life or death than in a grocery store or in, well, just in general on the streets, for example.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I work on the supposition that I would come out worse in any violent situation. Mm. Like, there's like nobody I could overcome. I'd be beaten up by anybody. So I think it makes it much easier for me.
Maybe there's a sense that we become more emboldened when we are in this private space in the car, so we can curse them if you want, we can get angry if you want, and to an extent there are no repercussions on us because that person can't hear us unless we honk them or flash them. And
then if they stop, and then if you're challenged, what do you do then?
See, that's a problem when people do get confrontational.
You don't think that far ahead.
Then you immediately regret it. So, which is why our guess is now just recommended. Don't do anything. Let it be.
But that mindset, and well, rather the thought thoughts that Max had isn't necessarily rare. It is quite, it is the thought that's out there that we have to do something, right? Otherwise, they'll repeat their bad road behavior over and over again. And this is also coming through in a message from April. Why all the anger on the road, stress at work, coupled with never-ending rule breakers? If honking at rule breakers is considered road rage, I'll say I'm absolutely guilty. How else are the other drivers ever going to learn the traffic rules? Malaysia doesn't require drivers to go back to test. For every honk I give, I wish I could stick a sheet of traffic rule page in their face so that they'll never ever do the same thing ever again. People need to learn that breaking traffic rules is dangerous and causes bad traffic. Only if the traffic police are actually enforcing the rules that I can stop taking things into in my own hands.
Well, you see that this point here, I think beautifully illustrates it, that there's a sense that you have the ability or even the duty to teach somebody something, a perfect stranger, that you can and should teach them a lesson on how to behave. Now, I come from the theory that you cannot.
Yeah.
It's not that you should not, which just can't be done. So don't even bother. and also, I grew up in England, which is actually, quite frankly, a very violent, street violence kind of society. Mm-hmm. So I learned early on, don't try and throw your weight around. Don't try and teach somebody something. They'll punch you in the face. So I think that if you, there are two types of people, those who think they can teach somebody and should teach somebody something, and those who just say, I cannot teach.
So there is also this question of poor enforcement. That's why people feel as if they do need to take that lesson teaching, taking the law into their own hands, taking the enforcement role into their own hands, because it is, you know, if no one else is going to keep them in check, I at least should do my part and keep them in check to make sure that they don't repeat their behavior. April is back to say, once a guy stopped in the middle of the road after being honked at for not checking the traffic light, traffic before changing lanes. He got down, obviously looking for a fight. I just drove away the minute he got down. Didn't follow me, but if he did, I would have just driven to the police station.
Yes, yes, and yes. when someone gets confrontational, do not entertain them at all. Just get out of there. If they come after you, go to the police station. It is not worth it at all. You can correct someone's behavior, but if they want to take things further, no, forget about it.
We also have this message here from Rosalind saying that, I feel just like most problems in Malaysia, it's enforcement, enforcement, enforcement. Authorities are just too lax. Besides corruption, we get away too easily. I know PRs overseas who are terribly reckless drivers when they are back in Malaysia, but will abide to rules just because it is too expensive and inconvenient to break rules. No copy money, your license is suspended or points demerit, even if it's just an illegal U-turn.
Sorry, I don't quite follow. So you're saying that people drive worse here,
but when they're back in
Australia or whatever, they drive well. Mm.
Just because there is better enforcement.
Okay, but a few years back anyway, the single demographic that was considered to be the worst drivers in Australia were Malaysian students.
Oh
okay.
How tragic.
Okay.
So we also have this message from Maggie, I think talking about her experience. One of my worst nightmares is to have the recent road rage incident happening to me, and I was the one to strike out because the other action of the other motorist was the last straw that broke the camel's back. This is especially when I feel the other party or too many people have been repeatedly breaking traffic rules, even if it's just something as simple as driving into a no entry point just to rush for that parking space.
Yeah, the little things just build up, you know, and I mean, it can happen to the nicest people in the world. Like, in normal life, you are very nice, but when these things start to build up when you are on the road, then anything can happen. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, you have to manage it better, but the truth is, you never know when it might push you over the edge.
It is also the means of communication, right? The only way you can signal to someone... The only way you can signal to someone is to honk at them. So the honk can mean so many things, right?
Yeah.
Does it mean you have wronged me in a certain situation? Are you trying to warn me that perhaps my boot is open? Are you trying to tell me that, oh, I didn't use my signal? Are you just warning me that perhaps you have different reasons as to why you're driving a certain way? So it doesn't work effectively as a communication tool, rather more it works just as an alert tool, but it can be read in so many different ways that I think that's where the communication breakdown happens and it leads to a road rage.
Yeah. Incident. Because the person on the other end could take it completely wrong. Yeah. Like they feel like they are being challenged, or how dare someone teaches me how to behave, and they can go really wrong. I mean, as road users, it is really up to us, and we know if we've done something wrong, then just own up to it. Don't escalate it, man.
You can keep those messages coming. 7733-2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
Now, on the topic of road rage, we do have Stephen on the line. Stephen, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening. My name is Stephen. Okay. I was just telling that road rage actually is from people to people who are individual. I myself, when I drive on the road, and I can control myself, in the office and with how vulgar a person is. But when you drive on the road, when someone just sometimes, stop and bang you or like that, and they try to, act funny and things like that, you literally becomes angry and you want to teach him a lesson just to overstep and stop him and just tell him, hey, you are doing wrong, But I find that it's totally uncontrollable, when I'm driving on the road and people do that. But in the office, when people are rude, I can tell them straight, nicely and clean. But on the road, it's totally different. I'm like two different person also.
And why do you think that is a case? What is it about the road that makes you react that way?
It could be just the people, they are completely, like in the office, when someone tells you, and if it's wrong or right, or if someone is rude, you can tell them, and you understand the situation to tell them off. Even your own parents who sometimes you lose temper, but you can control it. Mm. But on the road, a person is totally, because the other party tends to be just ignorant and it just cuts in and do it, and you can see how he behaves. A lot of motorcycles just cut in sometimes. When you horn them, they stop and they try to ask you what you want, that kind of thing. So these people need to be taught the lesson sometimes. And you lose your temper driving. But in the office, if these people are working with me, I feel, my rage is slightly different. I can control it much better.
Do you think it's because you know these people? You know their names, you've seen their faces many times. Does that make a difference? Whereas these other people, you have no idea who they are.
Yes, I believe so. Because you can see road rage. Even for this guy, I believe he's in the house, he's extremely good. But first thing, why does he carry a club in his car? Because definitely his attitude changes. The people surround him, he doesn't know, could affect the kind of people. I myself, as I told you before, would have done the same thing. If I was in the other guy's situation, I would have done the same thing. If he really stopped me and he comes and bang me, I would really would have trashed my car back to him. Mm. I mean, truthfully, I would have done that.
Stephen,
and I don't blame the other guy. I believe this is why some people need to be trained. Most of his attitude, the people or even myself, sometimes we lose our temper. It's because unconditionally we do not know the other person's attitude and the way they react.
Stephen?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, we just lost you at the tail end there. But thank you so, so much for your thoughts and actually for being quite honest with us.
Yeah.
It is true, right? I think being in the office, you know them and it's not the first time they would do something wrong. You know them from a context where they have done good things for you. They have been kind to you and you recognize them as people. On the road, it's a different context altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
So we also do have other messages here. First up, this one from Adi, who's sent us a picture that reads "Tak malu ke potong queue," with an accompanying message that says, "I'll show this on my mobile for people on the road who loves cutting queues."
Wait, but haven't we all done that though? Haven't we? Come on, let's be honest, people. Haven't we all done that?
That meaning?
Meaning we've cut the
cutting
queue.
Cutting queues.
We've
yeah,
cut the queue. I mean, either we missed the chance to go in nicely, and so we had to go all the way down and find a gap.